Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, The Woj Pod. How does 25-year-old two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo get drafted 15th overall in the week draft class? Adrian Wojnarowski investigates the twists and turns that led to a franchise and league-altering selection in 2013. A three-part series within The Woj Pod that tells this unique story, including interviews with individuals close to the process, as well as a one-on-one sit-down with Giannis himself. Check out the Woj Pod special, the Giannis Draft, now as well as the right time wherever you get your podcast. Also, today is Giving Tuesday, a global day of giving, and it's also the first day of ESPN's V-Week. We can all be a part of something big today by supporting cancer research, which is needed now more than ever. If you're able, give now at v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes directly to cancer research. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. Coming up on this episode of The Right Time, we're going to talk about some wild stuff going on in college football. We're going to talk about Nate Robinson getting them beats from Jake Paul and the return of DJ Mike Hitman. But first... Yo, so we are recording this at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, December 1st. I feel like sometimes it's important for me to like timestamp what we're talking about when some things just don't want to act right in the process. And we are assuming at this moment that the Ravens and the Steelers are going to play a football game on Wednesday night. Now, this game was supposed to be played on Thanksgiving, and the Ravens, I believe, were supposed to be playing this coming Thursday against the Cowboys, but they had a little COVID situation. Lamar Jackson caught it, Mark Ingram caught it, J.K. Dobbins caught it. Basically, it looked like the Ravens had themselves a full-on, what they call it, an outbreak. They had an outbreak situation, and then the NFL was scrambling, trying to figure out exactly what it was that they could do. And then we got into a situation with the Broncos where all of their quarterbacks wound up in COVID protocol. So they had to pull a wide receiver off the practice squad who had been a quarterback in high school and college and bring him in to play quarterback against the Saints, who have a pretty good defense. And the gentleman's name was Kendall Hinton. He from Durham. I want to send a shout out to Durham. He went to Southern Durham High School. You know, love Durham to this day. Bull City, stand up, all of that stuff. Yeah, that man ain't had no chance in that game, dog. Like he didn't even get like a week of practice or even a few days of practice. But he was just out there. Like, all right, see what you can do, you know? And also interesting, the Broncos did some different things, right? Like they did a lot of wildcat. It was no telling necessarily who was going to wind up playing behind the center. But they actually let that dude throw the ball. I don't know if I would have let him throw the ball. Relatively speaking, they let him throw the ball, and John Fox let Tim Tebow throw the ball sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say, when people were kind of going around the horn and figuring out who was going to be quarterback for the Broncos this past week, yes. I was going to say, there is one former Denver Broncos quarterback that is one of your favorite quarterbacks that is currently available.
Yes, and I just want to note, by the way, this is kind of similar to Josh Allen in the sense that I don't really have a problem with Tim Tebow. I got a problem with y'all. Why are you laughing at me? Why are you laughing at me?
No, it's just another person, you know?
So. Yeah, it's just important. I just feel like people misunderstand. And they believe that if I say these things about these guys, that somehow I got some level of like personal animus against those dudes. Like when Tebow was in college, I used to say on the radio, I said this about Tyler Hansbrough too, when he was in college, where I'm like, don't make us hate them, right? Like be real about this. You know what I'm saying? Like, be honest about this, but don't make us hate them, because these dudes haven't really done anything. What winds up happening is all the noise that surrounds them gets to be so goddamn annoying, right? That you just, like, you lean in on that, but it's not like there's any problem with the person himself. Now, Tim Tebow, probably the worst NFL quarterback I've ever seen, right? Like, not the worst quarterback I've ever seen play quarterback, but the worst quarterback that, Like, people are trying to tell me this dude's a quarterback, and I know he's not. You see what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Like, this dude was a first-round pick. He's definitely the worst first-round pick I've ever seen be a quarterback. And then they put him out there. And this Hinton dude, I mean, what you supposed to do, right? What choice, what chance do you have? He does get to say that he played quarterback in an NFL game. Here's one for you, Gabe. I don't know, you may have seen me tweet about this, but this is still a wild point. That is the seventh game the Denver Broncos have ever played with a black starting quarterback.
Yeah, I saw you tweet about that, and I began to think, like, okay, what is that connected to? I mean, I know that, like, Colorado is historically, like, a Republican state. It's turned blue, at least, like, yeah, as of late. But at the family that have owned the Broncos, is that the Bolin family?
The Bolin.
How long have they owned the Broncos?
Let me check that out. So I think there are a couple of factors. Like, you got to be – I think that it's important to be fair on, like, some factors on how it is that you wind up in this place with a team. So, for example, the Broncos would not have had a black starting quarterback from 1983 to 1999, right? Because they had John Elway. You feel me? Like, if you've got John Elway, well, that guy is your quarterback. So, boom, there's going to be a 20-year period where you don't have a black starting quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to happen. So, like, Were they being racist by not having a starting quarterback from 83 to 99? No. Are they being racist in not having a quarterback in all this time? I'm not saying that, right? Like, there's answers, there's explanations, and in a significant period of that time, nobody had black quarterbacks. Like, it wouldn't be so particular to them. It does kind of jump off the page, though, that the last time the Broncos had a black starting quarterback was week 17 in 2003, when the whole season had been wrapped up and they threw Jarius Jackson out there and he only got 9 attempts. Before that was a gentleman named Marlon Briscoe that a lot of you have probably heard of, who was the first black starting quarterback in American professional football, and then they made him into a wide receiver, right? Like, per legend or whatever it was. But a lot of these teams, you go up and down and look at it. The Giants have had a black starting quarterback for one game. The Bears had one game that Jason Campbell started, and you probably remember that game, Gabe. It was the game that Kaepernick took Alex Smith's job, that Monday night game. But other than that, they had a couple games for Vince Evans in the 70s, and that's about it, right? Like, that's why there's, like, it's not an accusation against anybody. It's just a reminder for people. No, y'all don't realize, man, like, a whole lot of these teams still haven't gotten around to the future, shall we say, out there. So Kendall Hinton, in February in Denver, they're going to remember you, baby, right? Like, your name going to pop up. They're going to put your picture up into elementary schools. All that stuff, baby. Like, that's where you're going to wind up. In that, but I mean, obviously we're bringing this up because the NFL season seems to be like going off the rails just a little bit because of COVID stuff. I am here to defend the NFL just a little bit, just a little bit. And my question is for everybody, what do you think they're supposed to do? Like, I understand the argument is they're just out there to make money. They just out there to make money now. They were just out there to make money last year. They're going to just be out there to make money next year. 100 years from now, they're going to be just out there to make money. Like, that's what this is. Everybody is in this in order to make money. They don't make money if the games don't get played. The players don't get paid if these games are forfeited or when they're postponed. They don't get paid until somebody actually plays. Like, everybody in this is invested in actually playing these games. You'll notice, like, the Steelers understandably had these complaints about the game being rescheduled, and people's argument is, well, why are they complaining? Because they get extra time to prepare, because they're creatures of habit, right? Like, they have a setup, they had a plan for what it was going to be, and now that plan is thrown off, right? Football players and football teams are not necessarily built for that to be the case. But you'll notice, ain't nobody talking about canceling. They talking about rescheduling. Maybe we can do this a little bit later. But nobody's talking about canceling any games because nobody gets paid if you wind up canceling these games. Like, the state of affairs as they have it was negotiated. This is different to me than what's going on with college, where the players didn't have any real level of agency in determining what was going to go down. These dudes have decided that for the money they're going to get, it is worth the risk. They have bills that they need to pay, and so they're going to get out there if they can to try and play. Now, where I think the NFL has gone wrong about this, and I can't remember if we talked about this before, but does it look to you like anybody's got a flowchart about what to do in the NFL offices? Because to me, everything that has transpired with positive tests and everything else, it was all foreseeable, right? Like, we haven't had anything that's come up that's like, wow, how did that happen? Everything that I've seen come up has been something that would come up, right? Like, something you could see coming. And so what I think the NFL did a poor job of was communicating, not just to the public, but apparently also to the players. If this thing happens, then what? Right? And I feel like if everybody had an understanding of just a series of if-then statements, then everything would take care of itself. Instead, what we wind up with is an appearance that they're just kind of making this thing up as they go along. I don't know if that's true, right? But it looks like it. Now, let me give you an example of a time where it's looking like the NFL is just making it up as they go along, but apparently they had a plan. What's going on right now with the 49ers? So Santa Clara County, which is where the 49ers play, has a ban on contact sports, right? Like, they looked at what the numbers are, looked at where it's going. They're like, nah, not here. Now, never mind the fact that there appears to be some evidence to indicate that in-game transmission is not common, right? In-game transmission, and we've seen this a lot in college, where people have come up later and had positive tests, but then nobody on the other team seems to have wound up catching it, right? Like, there are questions to be asked as to whether or not it is legitimately unsafe to play these games. The part that's not very safe is all these people hanging around the facilities, you know, getting sweaty and naked and taking showers together, you know, all of this stuff. Like, those are the things that seem to, like, cause the problems there. But anyway, they got the ban in Santa Clara on contact sports. What they've decided to do for the 49ers is they will now play their home games in Glendale, Arizona, at whatever they call that place now, right? That's where they're going to play the games. The reason they're going to play those games is apparently when the schedule came out, they realized that there were literally no schedule conflicts between the Cardinals and the 49ers. That there was never a point where the Cardinals and the 49ers were going to be playing at the same time. Therefore, the 49ers, if they needed another place to play, Arizona was always an option. But we don't know that, right? We don't know that. And then Kyle Shanahan gets up and says they were blindsided by what the county wound up doing. And the county is like, read a newspaper, fool. Right? The county's like, how are you blindsided by this? Like, do you have your head so far up your football coaching ass that you're not able to tell that we're in the middle of a pandemic that's getting worse? You know, like, what are you talking about here? You know? And so but there was a plan in place here for if this happened. I don't know if there was a plan in place or how many teams there were plans in place for. So I know a lot of people are like, well, why don't you just play in Oakland? Because they need a stadium that has the proper replay equipment in the stadium, and that's not in the stadium in Oakland anymore because that's no longer an NFL stadium. So they don't, you know, they don't have it. But they had a plan. It just doesn't look like they have a plan. And it needed to look like they had a plan, right? Like, it needed to look to everybody as though there was some variety of plan, and it doesn't look like they have one. And now, the way they handle Steelers-Ravens, where they kept just trying to push the game back a day. And they pushed the game back a day. And we've gotten some rumor that the Ravens players were like, yo, we ain't gonna play on Tuesday. And so they pushed this thing back one more day in order to get to the place of playing it on Wednesday. And have you seen what time that game is on Wednesday, Gabe?
It's not a night game.
Yes.
Because of...
Yes. It is 3:40 for the kickoff for Steelers-Ravens. Because NBC had something previously, because this is the other thing too that gets lost in this. When these networks lose a game or a game gets postponed, they want to keep the game. Like NBC, for example, they only get to broadcast but so many games, right? Like, I think NBC has 19 games in the schedule, 17 weeks plus the opening game plus the Thanksgiving game that they get, right? That ain't a lot of games, right? So when they, for all the money they pay, when they lose a game, they want to get the game back. So NBC is like, yo, we're going to broadcast this game on Wednesday, except already on the schedule, the lighting of the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. So the game will be played at 3:40 in the afternoon because there's just so much going on. And I'd like to take a moment to say right fast, if you are thinking about going to the Christmas tree lighting at Rockefeller Center, I'm going to kindly ask you to keep your ass at home. Like, please do. It's getting a little ridiculous up here in New York. I don't know if you've seen this game, man. They've been having to shut down parties. You see, they had a party with like 400 people this weekend. They had to shut down. There was a story a couple days ago about people. And look, man, if y'all want to get out and kick it, I totally understand. But I'm just looking at it. That party got 400 people. If you person like 398, how did you not walk out the second that you walked in? Like, wow, this looks like a horrendous idea. You know, what are you thinking? But anyway, this is where the league is in this. And once they decided they were going to play through COVID, this is what it was always going to be, you know? This shouldn't be like, oh, man, here we go again. No, you're going to have these times and you're going to have situations where some players wind up catching it. You were going to have stuff kind of like your whole quarterback room has caught it, you know? And it's not like that's the first time we've ever seen something like that in football before. Like, it happens a bit more in college, I think, which is kind of wild because they have deeper rosters. But you see that, like, for Virginia Tech fans, they will tell you the legendary story of the 1998 season where they were all the way down to a running back to play quarterback. And the reason it's legendary for them is Michael Vick was redshirting. And Frank Beamer refused to burn the shirt. He was like, nope, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We're going to keep going with these guys, you know. But these things kind of happen where everybody gets hurt for whatever reason, and now you can't get cats out there. The thing for them was, it was quarterback. You just can't easily replace a quarterback. You can't just go plug in another one of those. You can't just go find one. I ain't going to find somebody on the street to play wide receiver. I ain't going to find somebody on the street to play running back. You just can't go find somebody. You can barely find somebody on your team to play quarterback, let alone go find somebody on the street. Like, I thought that that was a bad break, but I also thought it was appropriate for them to play the game. Like, they don't, the NFL does not have the situation where college does, where they're saying that if you get below a certain number of players at certain positions, then the game can't be played. That isn't where they were. And the Broncos are going to lose that game anyway, you know? But what the league is saying is they felt like the Broncos had controlled the outbreak, that the Ravens had not. And then we get to this odd space of people talking about, well, the teams that did everything they were supposed to do are the ones who are being punished, and the ones that didn't are the ones getting the benefits. Ain't no benefit to all these people having COVID, man. Like, what are you talking about? There's no benefit to it. And see, and then that gets us to the awkward place of, when is or is it not appropriate to blame somebody for catching it? Because in Denver, part of what they had was they had to do this because the quarterback room apparently had not been wearing masks. And so, yeah, they should be judged for that. 100%. They absolutely should be judged for that. That ain't that hard. You know what I mean? Like, my brother and I catch up for various reasons. You know, while we're in town, I have a very small quarantine circle, and he is one of the three people that's in it, right? But when we ride somewhere in the car, we wear masks. And neither of us goes anywhere. Like, neither of us does anything. But you can talk with a mask on. Like, every time I see somebody pull down a mask to talk, I understand it. Because socially, it's kind of weird to, like, cover your face while you're talking to somebody. Like, it don't feel right to do that. And when you talk, it doesn't sound the same, obviously, because you've got this barrier that's, you know, in front of your mouth. But people can hear you. You can talk to somebody with a mask on the phone. You know, people hear you. People understand what you're talking about when you do that. And so they messed up there. But like that, these are the places where the NFL couldn't, like, I didn't know what they were supposed to do, right? Because we're like, hey, we don't judge people for getting it. We don't judge people for getting it. But we also all go on the internet and see people being stupid, which puts us in a position where, hey, maybe you can judge some people for getting it. And then it comes back here. But the truth is, the Ravens just had too many people who had it, or too many people that were in the space where, you know, all that stuff. The Broncos weren't there, so the Broncos had to go out and play. But in the end, because the NFL has done such a poor job of communication, it doesn't look like anybody's making any sense. It doesn't look like there is a plan. And so here we are. Here we stand. Now, Gabe, what's going to happen if this happens in the playoffs?
Do they have a plan for that?
I don't know.
You know, people are talking about push it a day back. Are they going to plan in to that first round, like an extra 4 or 5 day buffer if there are any games that need to be pushed back or rescheduled?
Yeah, I have no idea what they're going to do. And that's the mistake, man. You know, like, people just need to know what it is that you have going. But this is, look, the outcome and everything else, because I did a hit on CNN yesterday, and they were asking me about, like, whether the competitive balance or, you know, competitive integrity of this. I'm like, dog, it's football. People get hurt all the time. This is just a different kind of hurt. It's just a different brand of hurt. And so, yeah, all this is football. It's just football in the midst of a pandemic. That's, you know, that's really all it comes down to. And looking for the Ravens, I do understand this part, because I do believe this. You cannot easily separate the fact that Steelers-Ravens is a marquee game from the fact that they were doing what they could to get it out there. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, that part is hard to separate, because this is a game that you absolutely want to get on no matter what, as best as they possibly can. Broncos-Saints was against Mahomes versus Brady. They weren't really caring about that. In fact, I make an argument, more people probably watched that game because of Kendall Hinton than they would have if Drew Lock was out there. I'd have never turned over to that game for a second otherwise. I went over there to see if Taysom Hill was going to be better than Kendall Hinton. And the answer was, kind of, a little bit, not overwhelmingly, but, you know, maybe good enough. That's what we had. So, yeah, man, get ready. Buckle up. It's going to be wild as this year goes on, as these cases start rising, and as these people who are living lives, and they have wives, and they have children, and they have people that are out and doing all these things and everything else. I saw one person wound up having to get on the list because his partner went out of town. And I'm like, hey, man, for what? Was her mama dying? His or her mama dying. I don't know who the partner is, right? Like, what in the world made it? You know how much money is on the line right now? I don't give a damn how bad you need to go to the beach. This costs too much money. What are you doing? What are you doing? But anyway, hey, Wednesday afternoon football, I'll take it. All right, so as most of you know, I root for the University of Texas in football. And as many of you know, I have never been fond of our head coach. And as some of you know, they lost to Iowa State at home. And as a few of you know, that means it's time for change. Right? They ain't actually made the change. It seems to be very difficult to imagine a scenario where the change does not happen. But I said early this season, I was like, it's going to come down to whether or not you beat Iowa State. And that is something that no coach at the University of Texas should ever say. Now, Tom Herman has a significant buyout that apparently decreases after the 1st of December, which is the day that we are recording this. So who knows, right? Maybe something happens like right around this corner. The athletic director, Tom Herman said, offered to call recruits to let them know that he would still be the coach if he thought that would help. And I honestly can't think of anything less assuring than that, right? Like, best case scenario, that means some people are thinking about firing you. Right. We might not do it today, but some people got that on their minds. And I bring this up because Derek Mason at Vanderbilt just got fired. Will Muschamp got fired with some 8-figure buyout, I believe, from South Carolina a couple weeks ago. And coronavirus ain't stopping nothing when it comes to the game. Right. Like, it's stopping games, plural. Right. But the game itself, everything we talked about, man, people's money going to be tight. They ain't going to be able to be out here firing these coaches. The hell they not. Nah. Everybody, one thing I have noticed about this, and I don't know, maybe they cutting James Franklin some slack at Penn State, maybe, right? Because they, you know, normally being as bad as they've been this year would get you fired at a place like that. But they don't seem to be talking about firing him. So maybe that's the one place where people are looking at it like that. But I am here to tell you, I don't know what effect coronavirus has had on Texas football team. I don't give a damn what it is, right? Like, the sympathy. One thing that's very interesting about being a fan in general and like a college football fan in specific is that my big old brain can intellectually understand all the things that are going on this year. My big old heart can have a measure of sympathy for people understanding that these are very difficult times. However, the smaller parts of me just lost to Iowa State, and I'm not here for that at all. I got no patience for that. And I don't think it's the first time. I don't give a damn how good their coach is, right? It's still in Iowa, right? All right, just checking. Y'all ain't supposed to lose that game. They got players. They on the opt-out, like, for who, for what program? That's going on all over college football, man. These kids looking up like, why am I still here? What am I doing? This doesn't make any sense. I'm out, right? LSU, That would even look like the it's all year long. Them cats is just like, come on, man, it's stupid. I'm about to go get this bread, right? Like, any sort of way, I'm gonna go ahead and do this. They had Jamar Chase, who may have been the best college receiver this year. He didn't even play. They had another cat that's looking like he's a receiver, projected first round pick. He just hopped up and was like, nah, I'm out of here, man. The game getting even more fierce in these times, and ain't none of these coaches, I don't think none of y'all gonna be able to get your job saved on the idea of, but it's a virus. No. It's time for you to go. Vanderbilt had to make history with their kicker because they were down so many people, and they still fired that man. I want to say this, by the way, about the situation with the woman who kicked for Vanderbilt. Number one, I don't think that there is a bigger gap in terms of perception and reality in terms of the difficulty of something in sports, quite like place kicking. There are 32 jobs for a professional place kicker in the NFL, and there are never enough to fill all the spots. Never, okay? So now we're talking about college. College. And what happened with Vanderbilt was their kickers were in the protocol. I think they're in the COVID protocol, but school's not in, right? Like, most of these schools after Thanksgiving were like, please don't bring your nasty asses back. Stay right where you are. And so who was left, right? So they went to the women's soccer team. They don't have a men's soccer team at Vanderbilt. They went to the women's soccer team, and this woman was able to kick. Now, I have to be careful about this because I am not a woman. So I don't know, like, it's not my place to talk about, I don't think, how important this is, right? I do think, though, the idea that a barrier was broken is incorrect. That's not what happened here, right? Like, nobody was like, yo, she is good enough to kick for us, and so she's going to kick. I don't care if she's a woman. It came down to, we can't find anybody that's good enough to kick, and she's the best person whom we can find in order to do that. That's not to say she's not a great athlete or anything like that, right? But this was, we have no other choice, which I do not believe, like, really qualifies as breaking a barrier on something like this, right? Like, this is a direct result of COVID and everything that has come from it. So good for her that she was able to do it. It was weird to see how many dudes were out here, like, with something bad to say about it. Like, hey, man, there was nobody else to do it, period. That was it. On one hand, it's like, you know, Derek Mason didn't want to do this because he was coaching for his job. On the other hand, she only kicked one time because they ain't score. There was no chance for a field goal. This was Vanderbilt, right? And speaking of Vanderbilt on the larger topic, the fact that Derek Mason got fired for this season, that's the game, right? Because look, they haven't won a game, but they're also Vanderbilt, and they have been ravaged by the virus, right? Ravaged by the virus. That's a school that's going to win, if you're lucky, 5 games a year. If you're lucky at Vanderbilt, you win 1 or 2 games in the SEC every year. People get fired for losing to you when you're Vanderbilt. Like, that's how it goes. And they still looked up and were like, nope, we can do better than this. Still did. In these times, everything else, Vanderbilt said they can do this. Yeah, no. COVID ain't going to say none of these coaches, baby. Not a single one. And that tells you everything that you need to know about college football, right? Brought the players out here and put them in this madness in order to get this money. And the coaches, who I also think, I mean, granted, they make a lot of money, so we don't think about it in that way, but we got a whole lot. Nick Saban, yeah, I mean, I guess he's, from what we could tell, he's going to be okay, or he is okay. Nick Saban's 68 years old, right? Nick Saban is old. Out here rolling the dice on this so that everybody can come out here and get this money. And by the way, I don't think Nick Saban would have it any other way, to be perfectly honest. But everybody's playing with a hand tied behind their backs this season. And that ain't saving nobody. And if that don't tell you what you need to know about college football, I don't know what does. All right, so Roy Jones and Mike Tyson fought on pay-per-view. I was not watching Roy Jones and Mike Tyson fight. Aside from the fact that I just didn't see any way that it could possibly be particularly entertaining, it just made me very uncomfortable. Like, I just looked at it and just felt like, wow, everybody's broke. Like, that was the only conclusion that I could draw from the fact that that fight even happened in the first place, is like, that just reeked of struggle. And it didn't make me feel good. It felt almost exploitative that it was being done. But the undercard had Nate Robinson fighting some dude named Jake Paul. Now, Gabe, you are younger than me, right? I don't really know who the YouTube stars are. Like, does Jake Paul mean anything to you? Does he register in any way to you?
I don't know if I'm, like, connected like that when it comes to YouTube stuff, but I had heard his name before. So I knew that he was a YouTuber, but I did not know what he was famous for on YouTube.
Yeah, doesn't he engage in a bit of casual racism here and there? Like, I feel like his steez is being a jerk.
Which is what led its way to fighting Nate Robinson, right?
Yeah, because Nate Robinson just decided that he wanted to fight this dude, right? Like, this was what he wanted. He said he was going to put on for the athletes everywhere. He just decided that he wanted to fight this dude. Now, Nate Robinson is a dude who enjoys fighting. Or at the very least, is remarkably willing to do so. This is the guy I've been telling y'all for the longest about these 5'9" football players, which is what Nate Robinson is. He just didn't play in the pros. And his dad, by the way, was a little short football player too. He come from a lineage.
Didn't Nate Robinson play football at UW?
Yes, he did.
Two-sport athlete.
Yes, and if I'm not, I mean, when he was in the league, like, he and LeBron James were probably the best pound-for-pound athletes in the NBA when he was there. And I believe he was a high school running back. Like, everything I'm giving you is dude who likes to fight. But there's a difference between liking to fight and knowing how to box. Those are not the same thing. I was talking to a dude once who enjoys fighting. He's a college football player. And he was just kind of matter of fact about, hey, man, every now and then we just got to fight, right? Like, he enjoys fighting. And he told me that he went in and started doing some boxing, right? And he said it wasn't long before he realized that that was not his ministry. But he said he came out of the little bit of boxing training that he did. And what he learned was, or what he felt was, he could win a fight against anybody who did not know how to box. Like, that was how he came out of it. Like, if you don't know how to box, you're not going to be able to do anything with him. But somebody who can box, nah, it ain't going down. Like, one thing about boxing is this. Ain't no real, like, Mendoza line situation going on in boxing. If it starts slow, it ends fast. Like, you don't hear about a lot of dudes that, you know, when I first started boxing, I only won one of my first 7 fights. And then I continued and became the heavyweight champion. Like, I forget what it was that Rocky's record was. But that was the most unrealistic thing in the world there. You ain't coming out here with double-digit losses and continuing to box. Nobody does that. That's stupid. Like, you haven't learned your lesson yet? No. Like, people don't have, like, I don't feel like people have these, like, super growth spurts of boxing talent where they just ultimately get a whole lot better after a few years of toiling. They were just ready to put it together. Like, either you got it off the rip or it ain't coming for you. Because the cost of doing business is just way too high. So Nate Robinson got out there with Jake Paul. And what I didn't know about Jake Paul is apparently Jake Paul has been training for like 3 years. He's been out here working this for real. And I'll say it. If I had to guess, that I could be wrong. But if I had to guess, Nate Robinson looked at this as, man, this white boy can't beat me up. And this happens, right? Like, as much as we as black people do not like the automatic presumption that we are inclined toward violence and toward criminality and all of these things, it also feels as though overwhelmingly we believe that if it comes down to a fight that these white dudes can't do nothing with us, right? Like, pound for pound, and I think most people feel this way, pound for pound, white dude versus the black dude, people are thinking that the black dude is going to win. The only place where people don't feel that way is Boston, where those white dudes they wake up every day hoping for their chance to be Jake Paul against somebody's Nate Robinson. Every single day. Everywhere else, y'all got y'all's money on the black dude. And Nate Robinson went out there, and that's what he thought was going to happen, and he got his ass dropped. He got dropped 3 times in 2 rounds and was laying down there on his face, Snoop Dogg on the call, singing Precious Lord, right? When that happened, Snoop Dogg on the call, greatest idea ever. Because, like, me and my brother have talked about this for years, about, like, how dope it would be to have a sports broadcast that has had, like, regular people doing the broadcast. And I don't think that would really work in most sports, at least not all the time. But it would absolutely work in boxing, right? None of us are really watching boxing and hoping to get no technical explanation of what's going on. We just want to see somebody get beat down. That's all it is, right? Like, after somebody hits the canvas, I don't need no analysis. I know what happened. That dude got rocked. That's what happened. And Nate Robinson got rocked by that white dude in front of everybody. Everybody. I ever tell you about the story my homeboy George tells about this dude getting rocked by this white dude in high school? So, you know how high school is, right? There's always somebody that wants to, like, start some fight or, like, mess with, they think they got an advantage over somebody for whatever reason, and so they get into it. And this black dude at my boy's high school decided that there was this white dude over there. He had these big ears, right? He decided he was just going to pick on that dude. And so he, you know, being loud about it, like, trying to make the whole joke about it or whatever. And the white dude told him to stop, and he called the white dude a big-eared racial slur. And the white dude apparently had had enough. And what he didn't realize is that white dude been out here doing that taekwondo. That white dude came and hit him with that roundhouse kick where he hit him like three times in one kick. Said, buddy, missed school for like a couple of weeks. And then came back. And they're like, yo, how you doing? Man, I'm good, man. But you know, me and mom's thinking about pressing charges. Right? Nah, you thought that you was going to rock that white dude. Right? You thought that the white dude ain't gonna do nothing. I seen that happen with my own eyes too, man. This dude I went to high school with, he was like, we were in the gym, like the day of a basketball game, so we pulling out bleachers, you know, anybody practicing or whatever. And for whatever reason, they had a ball out there, and he was just throwing balls at people, like throwing balls at white dudes. That's what he was doing. And he threw it at just one white dude, Jason. I think Jason Clemens, I think was his name. He threw it at Jason Clemens. Jason Clemens is like, hey, man, stop. And the dude said, what, you want to fight? Jason Clemens was like, all right. What he didn't know is that Jason Clemens in his spare time was a kickboxer. He caught that dude in the chin. It sounded just like this. Hit him in the chin, took him right to the ground. Ain't nothing funny in the world to me than when the dude think he just about to come wreck this white dude. He gonna bully this white dude because he white. Nah. Like, that white woman on the street might be afraid of you holding her purse close, right? But there's a bunch of white dudes that want nothing more than the chance to fight you. Nothing more. Like, he might not think he can beat you in no race. You know what I'm saying? He ain't gonna try. He might not try to go to the rim with you, but the knuckles? No. They might be ready for that. And then Nate Robinson, that's what he caught, man. Like, if I had known that Jake Paul had really been into this boxing thing, I'd have told Nate, I don't think this is what you want. I don't think this is the game you want to play. I think I saw something that said that Nate, like, people talk about Nate Robinson need to get up and go fight again. If he can't win a fight against the YouTube dude, who the hell you think he's supposed to fight? Like, there aren't that many, like, amateur boxers just out here looking for a fight with Nate Robinson. But if he do fight, can we watch it again?
What do you think's going to happen? Like, we're going to do some kind of Kimbo Slice thing with Nate Robinson in Seattle where he's just roaming the streets looking for people to fight?
Well, I can actually see that happening because I imagine a lot of people have jokes about Nate Robinson right now. And just because Nate Robinson won't fight Jake Paul again don't mean nothing about whether Nate Robinson going to fight you, right? Now, maybe you are trained in boxing, and so you too can lay Nate Robinson down. I am not, and I am definitely not in nearly as good a shape as Nate Robinson is. Like, if you yourself want to go fight Nate Robinson, you better wrap that up fast. Because I feel like after about 45 seconds, you're going to be huffing and puffing, largely because he's punching you in the stomach.
There are a different set of rules outside the boxing ring, right? Because like he could stumble into a similar type of situation if he's just roaming the streets looking for somebody to fight, or he comes upon someone who he doesn't really want any problems with, and that guy just unleashes a can of whoop-ass on him. But then that kind of second gear kicks in where Nate gets up off the ground, tackles the dude, and then it turns into some sort of like UFC match.
Yeah, here's all I'm saying. I'm 6'4", Nate Robinson's 5'9", so I'm going to have to create a force field around myself. And you know what that force field is called? The windmill. Ain't no time for pride. Like, if Nate Robinson heard I was out here making these jokes and Nate Robinson decided that he wanted to fight me, either I'm going to be like, look, man, I'm not going to fight you. Or I just got to get the wheels in motion. That's all I got. I got to do whatever it takes to keep him away and maybe land one of them overhead shots as it's going on, right? It's going to look like E. Honda with the hundred hand slap. Like, except it's just going to be both of my arms.
Just for people's reference right now, Bomani is swinging his arms in a windmill. Both of them at the same time right now.
Oh, yeah. That's what I... That's... Given the physiology of the whole situation, right? What do they call it? The tail of the tape. I think that's my best strategy. Keep it real. Nate Robinson should have tried that against Jake Paul. It might not have gone the same way. See? Hadn't thought about that. Had you? All right, so Jonathan Givony was supposed to join us for the Baseline series, but he unfortunately is unable to, so we're going to reschedule that. But in the meantime, coming to us live from the west side of Chicago, my man DJ Mike Hitman. Mike, what you doing, man?
Trying to figure out how to get back to Chicago.
How far out are you?
Man, I'm in South Bend. I was just driving, just get some air, just drove all the way to South Bend. Turned around, don't know where the hell I'm going now.
Hold on, South Bend, Indiana?
Yeah, I'm in South Bend, Indiana.
You crazy?
I just had to go to Dome. I just saw Notre Dame. I just saw everything.
How far is that?
Four and a half hour drive.
You just rolled out there 4.5 hours.
Yeah, I wanted to get out the house and get some air, and I just got on the expressway, started driving. End up in South Bend.
Well, that's right, because you've been dedicated to staying in during these times, right?
Hell yeah, I'm scared. I'm scared to die. I don't want to miss.
I told you before, you was just like, you don't want to do nothing, nowhere, nobody.
Bo, I ain't doing nothing. I ain't going around people chewing tobacco. I ain't going around people smoking cigarettes. I ain't been around nobody who's drinking, because I don't want them passing me none of that shit. I'm by myself. Everybody, y'all, I'm all by myself. I'm like Casper the Friendly Ghost. I ain't around nobody.
So you've been cooking all your food and everything?
Man, and Bo, since this pandemic, I had to learn. I used to go to these soul food restaurants and eat, get good food. My mom ain't around. Nobody know how to cook. It's hard to cook. I ain't know you got to put salt in everything you cook. Good Lord, I'm learning how to cook. I ain't never cooking nothing by myself. But it's okay. I don't want nobody else cooking nothing because I found out I've been doing my homework, Bo. Even if people got the coronavirus, you can still get it when they cook it. I cook myself. If it burnt, it's burnt. It's all good.
Hey, Mike, man, what's going on with your Cowboys, though?
Oh, my God. We suck. Let me ask you something. We fired the gingerbread man, and then we get Gumby in there, can't do nothing. He like Wibble Wobble. Do you remember that? Y'all remember that thing, Wibble Wobble, you can't fall down?
Yeah.
But this cat falling all over the place. We need to fire him quickly. I ain't never saw a coach. Oh, you know football. You at the 25-yard line, 4th and 10, you go for it. Who coach? What coach? I'm telling you something. If that was me, I'd be fired. I would be fired. This guy can't coach. I don't know. Maybe the quarterback from Green Bay was right about him. Maybe McCarthy don't know what he's doing.
Man, like, I just can't imagine what it's like for people who really love the Cowboys this year. Because it's bad now, but it's better than it was.
Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people love the Cowboys, but there's a lot of them don't want to show their face. I ain't the one. I don't have. I'm a true Cowboy fan. But a lot of them don't want to show their face because they scared. They're embarrassed. I ain't embarrassed. Know why? Because we still American team. And we got the roof open because God loves his American team. That's why the roof is open because God likes to see his favorite football team, the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm not mad. Long God watching the football game, I'm good with it. And he a Cowboy fan. Y'all believe that? He's a Cowboy fan.
Yeah, and you got a new gingerbread man.
Who?
Andy Dalton.
Oh, hell, I ain't counting that. No, they can't court. That boy scared. I ain't never saw a quarterback get paid all that money scared. That's why Cincinnati got rid of him. He scared. He come back to Dallas and play one year. He scared to play. And did you see him, Bo? What kind of – now, I'm going to tell you something about the Dallas Cowboys, Bo. They didn't even come to a defense. They clocked him like he was like he got bossed, like my man got knocked out. Oh, did you see my man get knocked out?
Oh, Oh, yeah, we was going to talk about that a little later, but we can go ahead and do that now. No, we can go ahead and do that now. What did you think when you saw Nate Robinson get knocked out?
Bo, it was Mammy Friday. And none of y'all young people might not know what Friday is. You got knocked out. That was that whole scene, Bo. That was the scene. Chris Tucker saying that to somebody, to Nate Robinson, that would have been just the highlight of the moment. Oh, why did he go in there take that fight and knowing that he only trained for 3 weeks? And this kid been boxing for almost 3 years. He taking this serious. You don't go in there and just go in there and just want to fight somebody. You got to know what you're doing. That kid who was throwing that punch, I would have gave him a go for his money. I would have wore him out.
Hold on. So you don't think Nate Robinson could beat that dude up, but you think you would have beat him up?
I don't think Nate Roberts did have the skills to box. I wish I was in that challenge with that kid. I would have wore him out.
You got the skills.
Whatever they told him, I would have tore his ass up and give me my money. And I would give it to my own charity, to me.
You got the skills to take out this dude that's been training for 3 years.
Bo, I come from Alabama. My father was a boxing coach. I had a brother boxer, all us boxers, and we was pretty good at it. But I just didn't want to get I didn't want to get lumps all on my head that then be sipping out a spoon all my life. No, 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 no. I gained it up. Once I saw my brother lose a teeth, I said, that ain't for me. And my father taught boxing. I could box, but I would have tore that kid up. But if that by charity, yeah. What charity you going to represent? Me and my own self. Me and myself and I would have tore him up. That's why I wanted to box T.O. I still want to box T.O. What he did to the Cowboy.
Mike, T.O. got to reach on you, man.
Man, reach don't mean nothing. If you ain't got no heart. See, that's a difference. Football, you got to be crazy. Boxing, you got to have heart. I come from the street. I know the skill. See, they come from the street. They might came for Mississippi down there, but I came for the gutter. You might have the big college education and all that, but I got the street college education. How to take you out.
Mike, I thought you might have related to Nate because I was trying to get you. You tell the people about the last time you shot dice.
Hey, Bo, that's how I know it. Look, Bo, I went and played dice in the back of the alley. Let's see, where was it? 1053 North Monticello, back of the alley. It's raining. We shooting dice. I was hitting. I was up to 1,500. I was hitting. I had my dog Lucky. This cat, they hit me with an uppercut, knocked the hell out of me. Because I was breaking them, taking their money. And he hit me so hard, when I looked up, there was nobody around but the damn dog looking on me. I ain't had no friends with me, nobody. When I woke up, I was wetted like a wet gutter. And the only thing I had was my best friend, Lucky, the dog. But I was mad at his ass because he should have bit one of them. He didn't do nothing, but I took him home and fed him. At least he did stay there and lick me until I got up. Because I was out, though. That cat hit me hard. And I think he had brass knuckles on him. But he didn't break none of my teeth. But I know he gave me a headache for almost 2 days. I was popping them Tylenol.
Dang, man. And you say you ain't shot dice again, huh?
Heck no, I ain't shooting dice no more. I learned my lesson. If I do shoot dice, I'm taking my posses with me. Me not having no posse, I ain't going to shoot dice with nobody no more. I was winning so much. I was talking so much stuff. I even told the man woman I was taking her to White Castle. She was going to eat good.
You had a plan, huh?
I had a plan. I was going to take your money, take your woman, and take your heart. Once I said I was going to take your heart, he took me out.
Mike, did you watch the Mike Tyson-Roy Jones fight? Because I ain't even watched that one.
Bo, I felt sorry for a lot of people who couldn't pay for it. I don't know what I get in trouble for. I put the whole thing on Twitter. I paid for it, let everybody saw it for free. If the IRS come out to me, oh, well, I paid the tax. I'm good. What could they do to me?
I was uncomfortable with watching Mike and Roy. Like, I ain't even do that.
Man, listen. Roy Jones got hit in the head, half corner. Is I'm bleeding on top of my head? It was a joke. I paid $50-something for that and saw two fat guys just got at the nursing home boxing. They was out of breath. They was tired. And Mike Tyson was having a flashback. He was having a flashback. All I kept hearing, he might say, well, how I'm doing? You doing? You ain't doing nothing. That's what you're doing. You breathing hard. And they said, Michael, how could I give Mike Tyson, how could we get Mike Tyson to fight him, to hit him harder? Bring up Robert Gibbons. All the money she took for him, bring her name up. He'll remember, but that's a dog team of Robert Gibbons. He had flashback.
Yeah, man. I was not here for it. I was not. Now, let me ask you this, man. You big Celtics fan. What you think about Gordon Hayward going off?
That's another person. Let me tell you something. I always say, we got to get rid of people that is not true Celtics. I'm glad we got rid of Gordon Hayward. Now we got a guy been out all this month, and now he want to go check out his knee. You know your damn knee was bad enough in that damn bubble. Why didn't you get it worked on then? We pay all these guys all this money, want to be a Celtic, can't be a Celtic. He's not a Celtic. We got to get rid of him. Get rid of him, too. He's too short anyway. They was killing him in the bubble. I don't want nobody almost the same size Bobby Brown. I don't like that.
So Gordon Hayward gone, Kemba Walker hurt. What's it going to look like?
Hold it. Who you said was gone?
Gordon Hayward.
We forgot to get rid of one more person. Get rid of Steve Bradley. Get rid of him, too. Get rid of him. He is overrated coach. Ain't did a damn thing.
Oh, you talking about Brad Stevens?
Yeah, we got to get rid of him, too. This is it. Danny Ainge, listen to me. If this guy don't do nothing this year, you brought all that talent in. You made all these people don't want to trade with you no more because they hate you because every time you trade something, you get lucky. Now it's time to get rid of him. You're trying to get rid of the desk coach. You gave him all the bread. He don't even know how to cook with it. I need to go coach the Celtics.
I'd watch.
Yeah, damn right. Everybody would watch. I had Good Game, Donnell, Spanish Fly, Lucky Strike, my new guy, Bosco Pico, Trey be the water boy, and we had the Celtics running.
Mike, you say, are you opening a club right now?
Yeah, the Boom Boom Room, baby. It's coming. It was open to this pandemic that shut everybody down. I ain't saw a good woman in a long time.
That ain't you, man. That's not how you get down.
I know. It's hard. I'm not even calling them because I know how they feel. They lonely. I'm telling y'all, fellas, y'all want some good advice? I always tell y'all, find a woman with benefits. But now you want real good knowledge. The pandemic been going on ever since March 18th. It's December. When the new year come, they're going to be choosing anybody with no teeth, anybody with no sense, anybody would look like something or nothing. You could get you a good woman, but make sure she got benefit when she choose you.
This is not a time to not have insurance.
So, let me tell you something. I got a bad, I ate some pork chops at home. I cracked my tooth. I can't even go see a dentist. This tooth is killing me. I can't even get into the dentist. You know why? Because I don't know who he been around. I take this pain.
Man, I had to go to the dentist. I had one of my teeth break. I had to go in.
Not me. Not me. I ain't going nowhere. If I ain't dying, I ain't sick, I can take this little teeth too. I know that you're on the other side. That's why you got teeth on the other side too. I'm good. I ain't going to see no dentist until they say everything is okay. Oh, let me ask you something. This pandemic, right? I ain't never saw nothing like this shut down the whole world. Long as I live, I ain't never saw nothing like this. This is amazing that it could just shut down the whole wide world. And then people are losing their business and job. That's what I don't understand. This stuff is dangerous out here, Bo.
Man, hopefully we can wrap this up, man. People just got to act right.
As long as it's alcohol, people still going to do foolish things. And weed is legal now. Because everybody in my complex smoking a weed. And they put a Spencer machine down the street for us. I see my neighbors lining up. I see you, Miss Gwen. I see you, Miss Angela. I see you, Miss Pauline. I see them.
The old ladies in line to buy weed.
They're 54 years old. They having fun. You coming down, Mike? No, sir. You ain't gonna get me high and take my money. I know what y'all on. I used to play that game too. They are smart. That's why I always have a good woman to do my job because they are smart. You get a man to do something, might end up in a liquor store or at the bar messing over the money. Nope.
Man, somebody, what you gonna do for Christmas this year, man?
Oh, I wanna come out and bring my own Christmas song out if it's possible.
You got a Christmas song?
Me and Donnell, Good Game. And Spanish. Oh, let me tell you something, Bo. 1, 2, 3. Remember 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, the Mexican clowns you had.
Yeah, the Mexican clown. They started a new industry. They are construction workers now.
Okay.
They done went from clowns to doing drywalls and rolls and all that. They doing construction work. So 1, 2, 3, they ain't in the clown business no more. But yeah, I would like to do a song. Me and my guys, we try to work on something. Bo, it's hard to talk with these cats with this FaceTime and all this stuff. Donnell KC Craig, I can't know what the hell he talk about. Good Game don't know nothing about the technology of phone. He just got a phone. Spanish Fly, he just answered that, what's up? You know, I haven't saw my boys since this pandemic. None of us been around.
Hey, man, I'm hoping we can all get this together, man. Because I, you know, like once this all gets right, me and you go catch up. Because I ain't seen you now since I came up for that concert like 4 years ago.
Hey, Bo, you know, I had big parties. I didn't have a big party this year. I ain't been there nothing. And you know what, Bo? You remember the restaurant I took you to?
Yeah.
I can't get people to go there, just to go in, just order food and get carry out. I'm trying to keep business going. I'm trying to tell people, don't let mom and pop restaurant close down. That's a good established place. It's good food, but it's hard. She's scared to even cook, Bo. It's like everything is messing up in this world. But, Bo, I'm going to tell you one thing is not that bad. You can get a good car for a good price right now. I like to get that BMW. Even though I ain't got no hair, I'll look good in a drop-top BMW. The price today, you want it, get it. It's cheap. Everything is cheap. Houses, cars. But I don't want nobody house that lost their house. That's what I don't want.
Yeah. Like, I thought about, you know, I live in New York. I don't need a car, except I kind of need a car now because I ain't getting on the subway. That would be ridiculous.
Boy, you stay in New York?
Yep.
Man, it is up in New York.
Man, it's better here than it is a lot of places, though, boy.
But, Bo, y'all mayor, who is the mayor in New York, by the way?
Bill de Blasio.
Okay. I think one minute everything open, one minute everything shut down, one minute. But there's so many different. You got Bo. What part are you at? You in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I'm in Harlem.
Harlem? Oh, you? Well, then you safe. the rest of them in trouble. Are y'all gonna have fans in the garden when the season starts? Basketball season?
Oh, no way, no way.
Really? Are they allowed kids to go to school there?
They sent them home, but I think they just sent them back.
But why did they? I don't understand. Why did they allow them to come into school in the first place?
Man, because you can't teach them at the house. That's why.
Oh, yeah. And Bo, you know what? Baseball, football, basketball, it's not the same. Let me ask you this question, Bo. I haven't been outside and around people. How is it that the professional athletes can catch the virus and 2 weeks later they're back on the field?
Yo, that's the one thing I wonder about, too, with that. Like, they can't all be doing all right, right? Like, somebody got to still have something he fighting.
Right. This is what I understand. They got the virus. And 2 weeks they on the field. When I look on the rating of Dr. Fauci, my man, Dr. Fauci, when all this get through, I got to figure out where he at. I know for a fact Dr. Fauci drink moonshine. I got to get him some moonshine from Alabama. I'm going to take care of Dr. Fauci.
How do you figure that he drinks moonshine?
The ears and the forehead tell you everything about a man who drinks moonshine. And look at the dimples in the middle of that forehead. That's a moonshine drinker. And he get it from Alabama. I know Dr. Fauci, my man.
Mike, man, I appreciate you calling in, dude. It is always wonderful to talk to you.
It's good to talk. Hey, Bo, how do people on the phone? Back in the day, the morning joint, I talked to a lot of those guys. I talked to a lot of them. How everybody doing? Do they ever call you up and say, Bo, it's time for you to be back on TV?
I'm on TV 3 days a week now, man. I'm still out here.
3 days a week. We got to get you on the network that we can see you all the time so you can have callers to call in. You can have people to talk to. You need your fans. You got a quarter of millions of fans stand up and listen to you all the time. You know what I talked to the other day?
Who's that?
Larry Lank.
Oh, what's Lank up to?
Still rapping. I said, you still rapping? You ain't, he still, and that's who he rapping about still, Bo.
He's still rapping about Cam Newton.
Damn, I said, won't you rap about somebody else? Because Cam Newton ain't saved your ass yet. He's still rapping about Cam Newton. I don't know. I said, how you saw Cam Newton in New England? That cat right there. I'm telling you something about Cam Newton. Cam Newton got the agitation to be a pimp with the way he dressed. Football, he ain't got it. But the clothes he wear, he could be a fabulous pimp in Chicago. He can hang with good guys. They'll teach him to give him some street knowledge. All he needs is one gold teeth with them outfits. He'll be straight.
Mike, man, I appreciate you, dog. I'm going to holler at you soon.
All right. Have a good one, Bo.
All right, man. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassane handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Remember, subscribe to The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.